So concerning what we mentioned yesterday, that whilst the bull represents Esav, who just wants to destroy and kill, and the donkey, the ass, the wild donkey, represents those who go after materialistic passions, that's of lust. And we have the combination of the two. They produce the dog. Well, that's the symbol. And the dog has a specific aspect of arrogance in his biting and in his barking. So when the wild dog is let loose, it, the combination of these two qualities produces arrogance. And we explained yesterday already, this is referred to in the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude which we produced the sin of the golden calf. This was the Amalek, the spirit of Amalek, which entered into the people of Israel. Because the people of Israel, unfortunately, can become assimilated with the nations. So the mixed multitude were influenced by the Egyptians. Although they were accepted by Moshe Rabbeinu as Geirim, he thought, right, they want to become Jews, but I accept them, they can join us. So Hashem said, you know, well, it's, you know, it's your responsibility to some extent. And they're the ones who initiated the sin of the golden calf. The punishment of the sin of the golden calf is spread over the generations. And before the Mashiach comes, there's going to be a great power of chutzpah. And the way it's described in so many sources is chutzpah yazke. Chutzpah will become great in the times when we have the track of the Mashiach, the people of the Mashiach. So we'll refer here to the famous, it's really like both the end of the Mishnah Soito. You'll find it there in the Mishnah, it's also brought in the Gemara, concerning ikvos, the ikvos of the Mashiach, the epoch of the Mashiach. In fact, on this, there was a famous booklet produced by Rabbi Wasserman. In fact, it's called The Epoch of the Messiah, which I'm sure many of you may have seen, which is based upon this Mishnah of Reiser, the end of Tractate Sota. So we'll try and analyze this a bit in the light of what's happening today. As we already spoke yesterday, there could be no greater chutzpah in the world than using the name of God to publicize the most grotesque and horrible, obscene cruelties. Yeah. Today there's a competition. I didn't even know, but I've spoken about this a few times, and I must say I was extremely impressed with the speech which our Prime Minister gave. A certain way, if you person reads that speech, can't help but feeling that is really one of the major reasons apparently we're so keen to do it soon, Minas Ramayim, is you could say, tomorrow we're going to read the Megillah. So he said to the world, and he said, you know, he's like, he even pictured himself in a certain extent, just like Esther, you know, I mean, Esther, what she did in the light of halakha was, the person didn't know what was going on. It seemed to be a bit against halakha. A bit, you know, that the Jewish daughter should go and become the queen of Ahasuerus, you know. Because not only intermarriage, all these questions discussed in the Gemara, like it's like intermarriage and so on. But it was you never know. So here, She also went to speak to Ahasuerus before the time that was fitting for the Persian Empire. It was perhaps not so fitting from the point of view of etiquette, one nation. But she went and spoke. She said, "What do you mean if a person goes in to speak to the emperor without being asked to speak? It is liable to the death sentence. Why can I go in? So Mordechai, no, you have to go." You have to go and speak. And she made her appeal for the nation. So he was also making appeal for the people of Israel against today's threats. We can call it the reincarnation of Haman. And Ahasuerus, maybe in both of them, will be reincarnated. The Gilgal and the Shomimite reincarnation. Just as Saddam Hussein, in fact, he himself regarded himself as the reincarnation of the Netzach. And here we have the reincarnation of Haman and Ahasuerus. So he was pleading for the future of mankind, not only the people of Israel. And you know, it's a goody could quote that. And then he does say right at the end that God should bless America and should bless Israel. I mean, it's talked about in many ways, the Kiddush Hashem. And he also said, Desh, and Iran are having a competition. Who can be more cruel? Who can be more destructive in the name of God? I mean, what a chutzpah. Chutzpah Yazgei. So in time when the Mashiach, and it's written, the fact is, all this is written, especially if you go and study, the Vilna Gaon was probably the greatest spiritual giant in Torah, scholarship, and tradition in recent times. There's been nobody like the Vilna Gaon since. Beforehand there were, but he was a very high madrega and went very, and he describes the time of the Mashiach as it's happening today in so many ways. So let's have a look at this brisa, because this brisa is very applicable today. So it says the time of the Mashiach, firstly chutz b'yazgei, and it's true also amongst the people of Israel. Who can get a high position today? Yid chutzpah. I feel the chutzpah has even gone into the American dictionary as a person, you know, just there's no way to even translate it into any other language, but has got the arrogance, you know, in whatever situation is, to go ahead of other people. Chutzpah yazgei, chutzpah makes people great. And this is the quality of the dog. And the dog-like quality enters also in the people of Israel. So let's see. So with chutzpah yazgei is the heading of all the destructive elements that take place in the time before the Mashiach will come. So we have a malchut tehafech leminut. The rulership, the type of government that will exist, will no longer be like the simple kingship and royalty that have governed a lot of human history, but they'll be based primarily on minut, which means heresy. Because, what does it mean? It's not an ordinary denial of Hashem, but it's the denial of Hashem that comes from people being arrogant. And the desire people have to see themselves that they're the ones who can manipulate and rule what goes on in this world. And that's the concept of min. Min means somebody who regards himself as a separate class. You know, we are in the class of those who take responsibility and manipulate other people. So, if amongst the Gentiles, we don't look far. As I said today, it's just terrible, day by day, on all the mass media. By the way, I saw meanwhile a report, I know it's not reported everywhere, concerning Khomeini, his name is not so far removed from Haman, and he's the one who's, he says, you know, the Israel distorts everything concerning Israel, and puts what it's accommodated. All, therefore, they push it onto Israel. The twist of all the news to suit them. They've got it's more or less the dictatorship of the Iranian Empire. They're the ones that are supplying so much support for the whole Middle East terrorist organizations. Now they're putting on a face as though they're going to help to destroy Daesh, you know, get them destroyed. They think thereby they'll be able, by showing that they're ready to destroy their shul, to some extent, competitors, to they're helping the Western world. And therefore, the Western world has to give in to their preparation for and even their present activities for supplying all sorts of non-conventional weapons to the world, to the Middle East. Anyway, amongst the people of Israel, it's also so, people they regard as a separate group. The concept of shame in front of Hashem, they don't possess. And therefore, they think they can find ways to manipulate human beings without the power of Hashem. Then what's the next portion of this Chutzpah Yazgeh? Chokmat Sofrim Tizarat Yirachet Yimasu. The wisdom of the scholars will be declared to be rotten, and those who fear sin will be despised. The constant, especially mass media, and certain parties that arise, you see they're gaining popularity. Some of the parties that have risen in Israel, they are based upon, you know, upon appealing to the lower instinct. Well known advertisements as well. Which advertisements are more successful, generally speaking? Not those that speak about moral truth, but those who appeal to the lowest instinct of human beings. They will bring in more results than it will. Let's say they want to really spread things like smoking, which is dangerous. So they'll go and put on all sorts of pictures of things that will arouse and stimulate the lower instincts. And that's the way they make big money. Similarly also, if a person wants to be great in a political party, he'll go and arouse the worst instinct. So he'll use comedy and mockery and it appeals to people to mock at people who don't know anything about Torah. They'll mock the people who do keep Torah. This is Azot and Chutzpah, which goes deep amongst the masses and brings them to show disrespect to the wise leaders. The wise leaders don't follow such matters. They don't go in for major publicity campaigns and an ego trip. No, they're humble. Because they know they're humble in front of Hashem. They ain't to hachat. Therefore, there's no way where we can give a rebuke. And this enters, people also can be religious. Yeah? And be learning Torah. But the chutzpah you see, this is what the chutzpah you see amongst youngsters. You get youngsters that have been in yeshiva since they were 6 and 7, and they weren't trained officially on midot and derech eretz, and they'll use chutzpah. And if a teacher wants to give them mussar, they laugh at him. You know, they say, who are you? You know, little youngsters. Happens. This so is the main source of the dropouts today, many of them. They're also caught by this. That's why it's so continued. Young people will put to shame older people. They'll say to their parents, yeah, well, you know, we live in a different generation and we just want to do our thing. So rather than get up for davening, what should you get up for davening for? Rather than go and learn, let's go and do without these things and just enjoy ourselves. And why shouldn't we go out with girls? Why not? Yeah, they'll find it. Easily today, don't have to go to the movies. You can have the movie on your iPhone. You can have the movie on your internet. And they see the movies and they say, well, we know a person's got, especially in adolescence, the time of turmoil. So they'll say, why should I have all these inhibitions? Let me be one of the free people. That's what they base it on when they have today organizations that encourage this. Yeah, they encourage the movement. They call it Lachzor B'Sheila. In other words, you've been brought up religious, but what's the religion give you? Does it give you real pleasure? You can get better pleasure elsewhere. Yeah? First they do it in hiding, and then they do it in the open. That's exactly what it says here. The older people have to stand up in front of young ones. I mean, it's happened, if you go and deal sometimes today with the youngsters, especially the dropouts and so on, they'll laugh at you, they'll mock you. So this goes on. I still remember, I'll tell you myself, I still remember, I came into Israel, then I had a red beard. And then the Israelis thought, you know, red beards, you call them gingers. So you went to different places, they make fun. And that's how, and why, you, Baruch Hashem, I think many of you have not confronted the Israeli youth. What goes on in the schools today is teachers are afraid to go and teach. Yeah, because the children come with drugs and they come sometimes with weapons and they threaten the teachers. The teachers can't keep control. They don't know how to do it. You know, that's why I tell you one of the most popular, let's say high class schools are the shuvah. They're growing all the time. Shuvah, there's also another name for the Israeli sect. Shuvah is for the Russians, and the others are for Israelis. They also begin to understand that Israeli youth is on one of the lowest levels in the Western world. It's well known. They have no discipline, and things take place in school that are unbelievable. They have no respect. And the truth is, I know of many Baalei Teshuva. Yeah, if somebody told me that, I always reckon that. Baalei Teshuva. The parents don't like it. What do they have to do? They have to learn the laws of honoring parents inside out.
Of what?
Learn the laws of honoring parents inside out. A person, he has parents who object to him, let him fulfill the laws of honoring parents up to the letter, and they'll change. Well, they'll say, what's happened to my son? What's happened to him? You know, before when he was with the other youngsters, he didn't take notice of me. But now, now how he treats me. There's a famous episode of Rav Yankov Kamenetsky traveling in an aeroplane. I tell you, it's one of the Gedolei Hador. And he, with the Roscoe Rosh Yeshiva in America, very high level. And his grandsons, his grandsons were accompanying him. He was going on a flight. He was sitting next to a professor of biology. Yeah, had a talk. And all the time, the grandsons of the sons also, they came to see how he is. He was an old man already. And to help him, sit more comfortably, maybe you need a drink of water. They came to him all the time. And they were discussing the subject evolution. And this professor said, you know, he was a professor who believed, like so many of them, in doctrine, if you've got evolution, you don't need Hashem, and so on. But in the course of the conversation, he asked him, you know, what goes on here? My grandsons, they think I'm from the old world. You know, they think I'm out of fashion. They're not interested in you, really, you know, something to come from. They're party together. But why? How do you have sons and grandsons all the time that concerns you in this manner? So he said, well, that's part of the subject. You believe that the origin of man is from the ape, yeah? And gradually man has developed, even from the amoeba, going right up to the ape, and then from the ape to become a human being. And every generation is therefore on a higher level than the previous one. And therefore it's natural, if that's the way your outlook upon life, that means the next generation, like all grandparents that they know, that the youngsters, you know, they can deal with with all the modern gadgets much easier than we are from the older generation. They 1, 2, 3, they know how to use all the gadgets of the phones and the different types of phones and certainly all things on the internet. They 1, 2, 3. And for us from the older generation, even heard from someone yesterday who said, well, he doesn't have an internet anymore because he's one of the old generations, and he doesn't have a mobile phone. He makes use of an ordinary phone. It's easier for him. So, and so that's how we're growing. Each generation thinks they're better than the previous one. Technology, maybe, yes. But they think in other matters as well. And therefore they look negative. But we who believe, first of all, that there was Adam Rishon was the highest madriga of mankind, then went down and down. And then Moshe Rabbeinu and his generation were a very high madriga. We're going down, 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 down. So therefore we say each, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, we were kekeden. We want to go back to what happened in ancient times. Ken means ancient times. It also means katvut, progress. If we want to progress, we have to look at the previous generations on what high level they were and learn from them and their Torah they received and see what's going on. But in the time of the Rashiach, it will be the other way around. Ben Menavelav sons will speak with disrespect and even put to shame their parents. And this goes on all the time. So this is the Eid of Rav. It's all the influence of the Azim Shebedor, of those who are arrogant, which comes from the Eid of Meat. People become mixed up with Gentile education. And here, I'll tell you what's going on here in this country. Because, you know, the Mitzvah of education, they want to make sure that all the schools adopt a secular program, where they think the secular program is so important. Yeah? I mean, what I learned, I only went to non-Jew school. My first 6 months, which was in a more simulated school in Frankfurt, to be protected from the Nazis. But since then, I went to non-Jewish schools. And, you know, but the side had a very good home background. They brought special teachers to teach me Torah, which I'm very grateful. So the person, however, who thinks that, for example, in the non-Jewish school, all the teachers, constantly, they respected the higher values which had from the home. I told them in the school about Hashem and about different things, but that, you know, couldn't. So many different instances. They respect. And unfortunately, they think here that they'll produce better results if they'll have the secular program introduced. Because unfortunately, many of them never had a Jewish education. And they're working in the Ministry of Education. And what happens here is, in the religious schools, there's far better results, even intellectually. Why? Because there's more discipline. There's more discipline, there's a high level of intellect. They get top in the Beit Yaakov, they get the top prizes in the country, far higher than the other schools. In the Shuva school, the same thing. And that's why parents send there. Parents who are not religious send to these schools. Because they say these schools, they run by on the Haredi basis for non-religious people, for people in non-religious homes. And the children love it. And they're growing it. And the parents begin to recognize that im ein Torah in derech eretz. If there's no Torah, there's no derech eretz. But unfortunately, even in some of the Torah schools, there's not enough emphasis on derech eretz. So we say derech eretz chorma la Torah. But recently, some of you know what I'm referring to. I gave a drosha to a group raised in yeshiva world. They admitted it. That's what it says there. But because we can't help being influenced by the environment. It's so strong that we've got to learn in our own circle, those who really want to pass on the Torah and its purity. We've got to be strong against the Eid of Rav that exists today. It says, Yirechet Yimasu Ve'emet Nederet. Those who fear sin will be despised, and truth will be very rare, almost disappear. People won't follow the truth. They'll tell lies. They'll put on all types of propaganda, which is not true. Filled with lies, and killed with even libels, just as they're libels against the Jewish people, today they're libels against the Haredim. No question. And these are all the qualities that are spreading, and the inner truth is disappearing. Where does it come from? It comes from the power of chutzpah. And as it says in another word of the sages, Ein ben David bar, shifu gasid ruach Yisrael, the Mashiach can only come if those who have an arrogance of spirit still exist, they've got to disappear from the people of Israel, then Mashiach can come. And this is gasid ruach. Gasid ruach means that a person brings all spiritual concepts to the most grotesque, egocentric level, materialistic level. Gasut Ruach is the root of the Erev Rav, which the Vilna Gaon says this is compared to the bran which is found in the grain. Because the bran sticks to the kernel. It sticks to it. It's still external, it's still not the pure grain. So this is, and you shouldn't be surprised, it says even in the last chapters of Malachi, which is even with the coming of Mashiach, it says that at that time, the vast majority of Jews will say, Shab Avod Elohim. It's pursuit of vanity to serve God. Why should I go to shul? I think it's vanity. But they don't realize that this, in fact, why, it's very interesting, you say, why should we go in black? They say, why should you go in black? Kudoranit. I mean, generally it was regarded as a moshel, you know, to wear black suits. why would the people go in black suits? It's really a question. Because if you look at the Knesset Gedolah almost 100 years ago, the greatest Gedolim, and many of them didn't wear black suits. And many of them wear short suits. Gedolei Torah. And didn't wear black suits. They wear their top hats, cylinders. You don't find people with shtreimel. So many, look at this 5 minute early film has surprised many people. And they realize the early generation were a bit different. And they were quite ready. The Gedolei Torah, they mixed in with people who were products of the major universities of the Western world, and they were very orthodox. They kept up orthodox. Orthodoxy in the Western world was held as being a high level. And that's why my great-grandfather was one of the greatest Gedolim in Germany, the Orchel there, and his forum were used in all the Eastern yeshivas until today. People don't know. He went to Würzburg University. He didn't get a doctorate, but still he's got diplomas from university training, because that's why they accepted him also to be the chief rabbi of Altona. He was a Talmud Chacham on the same level as the Gedolei Torah in these. And then Rav Hirsch was an enormous influence. He also went to college for 2 years, but he didn't want to take a doctorate. It made too much. Because some say, Rafi Cholim Mata Asurim. Rafi Cholim is a doctor, Mata Asurim. He loosens the bonds. But some people say, some of the the doctor so-and-so and doctor so-and-so, they were rabbis as well, so they were, some of them became conservative or reformers. But he established also the Torah on a very high level. But all his Talmidim and all those who were active in the Western world in changing things, many of them had a very strong university background as well, to demonstrate, and that was his approach, but to demonstrate that it could be in any area of life, whether you're in business or whether you're in commerce, if you keep the Torah and you learn it properly, fantastic. You know. So this is the when the Gasid Ruach will go away. Now, it's something very interesting, which I don't know whether people have remarked on this, because this brisa, it ends with the words, it describes all the different, I haven't gone to every detail, all the deficiencies that exist in the Jewish world today are described in this brisa before the Mashiach will come. And that's why it's such a time, there's always a group There's still people around, it says. There's still people who are Yirachet. There's still people who are Talmid Chachamim. But don't expect them to get honor. Yeah? There'll be a lot of mudslinging against them, as there is now time. This time, you know, when there's... In fact, maybe it's a good idea we did not make a Chazit Charedi, that all the Charedi parties should get together in the elections. Why isn't it a good idea? Because I read now that when it comes to electing, people don't all want to be classed as Charedim. Yeah? Therefore, if you go as a Charedi, all these many people won't vote. Because I'm not a Charedi. Yeah? But now they divide in different groups. So in each group, I see now also there's a whole lot, even from the Agudat Israel group, Gimel, they're making an appeal because they've called it their party. It's HaTorah B'Shabbat, to preserve Shmirat Shabbat. There are hundreds and thousands of Jews who are not calling this Haredim, but they feel that here in Israel we have to strengthen the Shabbat, and therefore they're ready to vote for them because they're going to fight for it. And they also know, for example, one of the head Chavirim of Agudat Israel, Rav Lichtman, who's also a very good businessman, and he was de facto the health minister before the previous government, and he did so many good things, and people, and he really put threw himself into it, and everybody the Charedim, nearly all the Charedim, they are very much involved in doing Chesed for everybody. That's one of the great Kiddush Hashem is being done. Altogether, Israel has in it an enormous power of chesed that's on all levels. I mean, what goes on here in the hospitals, the enormous chesed to the non-Jewish patients who come is on the highest level. Anyone who goes to the seats of God's go in the hospital, and I can understand that nearly all the medical staff and nearly all the hospitals who are non-Jews, many of them, they feel really part of a team. And they feel that here in Israel, everything is done to involve them. And to involve them for all the patients, but also they are very much needed because all the hospitals and health services are open, even to those who come from murderous Palestinians. I mean, they'll take it anywhere, then they do it. And then when there's a trouble anywhere else in the world, they'll send a team, a medical team to help them, whether it's tsunami or whatever it is, wherever it is. There's enormous chesed organizations. So this Rav Lichtman, everyone knows that when the health ministry was taken over by the other parties, it became primarily like a political front. I mean, the people... You can see some of the other parties, they're interested to have their seats and have their positions, have their jobs. Was he took it over as a challenge for the whole country to improve all the health services. And he even started various important, more widespread help for all those who are sick and whatever type of thing. And they were cut back. All cut back. Just like the government began by removing child allowance or lowering child allowances. Who heard of such a thing? The country which has the biggest ratio of those living under the poverty line in the Western world. How did the State of Israel begin? It began primarily through a socialist spirit. And unfortunately that's being, it's going away a bit. All right, we have to strengthen it. We have to strengthen, but we don't believe in communist type socialism, but we do believe in the basic idealism of chesed, that we're here for others, not for ourselves. And that they feel. And therefore now there are a lot of people are going to vote for certain parties, certain individuals in those parties, because they know how dedicated they are to help the whole country. They don't take positions so much for their own vainglory, but they've been educated that way as well. to do chesed for others. So look, this is very important, and in the light of this, I want to give the following interpretation, which I haven't seen explicit, but I think it's very important. That this a mission or brayta, which is the end of tractate Sota. You can look at it in any Mishnais. Yeah, Sota deals with the woman suspected of adultery. But at the end of this, we are told here what's going to happen just before the Mashiach comes. And it will demonstrate before the Mashiach comes there will be a terrible situation in the world. The world will be threatened with the most terrible destructive instinct of mankind, which will be compared to dog-like biting and barking. Barking, that's the propaganda machine, yeah, to which is destructive and obscene. And this power of obscenity, there's never been a time when there's so many mass media that are swamped with the lowest level of a lifestyle that can be imagined, or a death style that can be imagined, or an immoral style that can be imagined. And it's going to the minds and lifestyle of so many sections of mankind. And amongst the Jewish people, it's also the same. On their level, that's the Erev Rav. Be too much influenced by the non-Jewish world. And then it says at the end, Ein lanu lishael elvish mashmain, the only person we can rely on is Hashem, our Father in heaven. So some say, well, it's a time when we've got to just sit to Hashem and pray to Him. But some say, no. That's Reb Chaim Volozhin. He says, why does it end with the phrase, it says all the curses that come upon people of Israel also. And it says, the only person we can rely upon is our Father in heaven. If a person says that, it's also not right. Because we have to change. It's not to be, Hashem is giving us a lesson. And that's why, at the end of the Mishnah, when it gives all, it goes straight over, even without mentioning, it goes straight over, Ein l'shanav v'ishmashayim, Rav Pinchas ben Yair Omer. Pinchas ben Yair was one of the great saintly Tanaim. Very great. And he said the following, Zrizot may be a lady to kill. A person who is enthusiastic in pursuit of improving himself, this will lead to a clean character, decent character. This will bring him to purity. Purity will bring him to separate himself from low-level materialism. And this will bring him to kedusha, to holiness. And this will bring him to true humbleness. And this humbleness will lead him to fear sin. And fear sin will lead him to chasidut. And chasidut means to pursue loving kindness. And chasidut will bring him to Ruach HaKodesh, to the Holy Spirit. And Ruach HaKodesh will bring him to the revival of the dead. And this will come about through Helio HaNobi Zochul HaTov. The question is, why did this follow straight afterwards? Because the way to put it right is, who by the way wrote a very famous book based upon this brayta? Who? Moshe Chaim Lutzata's most famous work is Mesilat Yesharim, the path of the just. And we have to know, I'll tell you personally as well, when I was a youngster, and just beginning to learn more thoroughly, shortly after Bar Mitzvah, I searched for an English translation of the Mesilat Yesharim. And I came across a very good introduction translation from Jewish publication societies that anyone could find. And it impressed me very much. And even the one who wrote it, I mean, there was an introduction which was, say, very inspiring. And so, because in our conscience, we all know the most important thing is to be a better human being. And the purpose of the Torah is to be a better human being. And where do you get encouragement? You read, a person reads this, I can go step by step. And Moshe Chaim Lutzata developed it, how each person, it starts like this, is each person's got to know what is his duty in his world. Each one's got a different world. And each one's got, some has got a different duty. But you want to get the maximum You've got to work from inside, from the moral conscience, and let that moral conscience work. And the Torah helps you. Actually, it says in another verse, the Torah maybe leads. The Torah brings to the Kiyot. Here it doesn't even say the Torah. It's very interesting. When this is brought in Avodah Zorah, the same writer, the Torah brings you to Zrizot. It doesn't even say that. So I want to say like this, that the juxtaposition at the end of the Mishnah of Sota, of the terrible Yeridat HaDorot, the lowly level reached amongst Am Yisrael. And then it goes and says, we'll only rely upon Hashem. So it says, no, don't say only Hashem. No, you've got to change. Go to your own inner conscience. It doesn't even say Torah. You've been given the ability to be lively and enthusiastic. It's the resort. Go and use it. Yeah, don't just laze and say, I can't do anything. I've got to be passive. Passive. Rely upon Hashem and He'll put the world right. No. No. You've got to be active. Activate your conscience. To recognize Hashem has given me such talents, He's given me a soul inside with that soul, which is really the voice of Hashem inside me. I've got to be Zoris. I've got to go ahead and use all my energies to come nearer to Hashem. And that will bring you also, don't be too Zoris. You've got to be careful. Careful in your zrizot, how to treat other people. You know, you might become very frum and so on. You'll be very frum, so therefore, you know, you push people aside. You can get to the front. You can get right to the kotel, let's say. Push people. No, you might be a zoris. You can run to the kotel, okay. But then, don't push other people. You know, the same in every area of life. So let us all hope. Well, we have to learn Musa. And the one who developed this brief, you know, what do you call it? In all areas for alcoholics or whatever it is, 12 stages. What's it called? What do they call it? 12 points. 12 stages you've got to go through to get rid of addictions. Well, we're all addicted to selfishness to some extent from birth. So let's get rid of that addiction and become servants of Hashem. And that way, it said, Mashiach will come. Chiyat HaMetim will come. Amen. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So please all daven for Hannah.